received another tap on the shoulder and heard a whisper, "Son, that was your $20. Fell out of your pocket." They asked me to speak on generosity today because they think I know something about it. Well, I do. Unfortunately, I misused it on dishing portions of ice cream. Generous helpings. As humans, we compartmentalize and measure things. You've heard of the term a measured response, where you do or say something with just the right amount. That's why I've called this message Spoons, Shovels, and Dozers. Spoons, Shovels, and Dozers. Jeff, you remember that. You can measure things with spoons in a small amount or even fractions, like a quarter of a teaspoon of this or a half a teaspoon of that. I've been making my own electrolyte mix, you know, like this heat is just so bad that water alone just isn't enough. You need some electrolytes to be replaced in your body. And I use, for the sweetener, this plant-based stevia. Have you ever heard stevia? Have you used stevia? They have this tiny little spoon. I mean, if you snorted coke, you could use it probably, but not that I know about that. But it made me think, is that how we measure the good things that we do for time, talent, energy, and finance? Is that how we measure giving of our time, giving of our talent? Or maybe you don't even measure the giving back. And that's what we're going to challenge today. Maybe you gave your time moving tables and chairs after an event here at church once. You may have played a small part in one of our productions. Or maybe you said a prayer for someone other than yourself. That dollar you put in the offering is sure going to go a long way to keep the lights and electricity and the air conditioning on in this place. Now, don't get me wrong. If that dollar is everything you have, I'm not talking to you. Well done. But many of us measure the good things that we do with a spoon and call it good. Now, some of you are really proud of yourself because you graduated from the spoon up to shovels. You got the shovels. Good job. You know, if you're a construction worker, a level shovel of cement, two shovels of sand, three shovels of stone, add a little water, and voila, you have concrete. People at this level may have volunteered to help clean the church once a month. We'll run a camera for the media ministry one or two Sundays every month. We need more helpers, by the way. You sing in the choir or the worship team. You usher every Sunday. You pray for the pastor a few times a week. You help set up for events and serve when it's convenient. You faithfully scrape together and give your tithe in the offering. All good things. Those are people do things in a big way. They spend most of their time in kingdom building. They pray for the pastor and church leaders every day and anyone that God puts on their heart because they're actively listening to Him. They lead others in worship, prayer, teaching, training, or even mentoring someone one-on-one. Now, when's the last time you did that? Winning souls, inviting people to church. Dozers help organize events and help set up and tear down every time there is somewhere to serve. They drive the bus or bring people to church every Sunday. They not only faithfully give of their 10% tithe, but they give an offering above and beyond that. They are generous to others and often pay for someone's meal or help with an electric bill. They loan or even give someone a car. There was one particular time in my life I was really able to give like a dozer. I tell you this story not to exalt myself, but like Paul, when he said, follow me as I follow Christ, I'm glad to have this story as an example. There was a man who was filing bankruptcy, about to lose his wife, and everything seemed to be going against him. I had just sold some property and had a little money. I could have put it in my retirement account. But God had me hire that man into my business. This was decades ago when $1,000 had some value. But I gave that man $1,000 a week for 44 weeks. While they got back on their feet. I don't think I made a single dollar during that time he was there. But now that man is very successful. He is building the kingdom as a dozer and helping his church and pastor immensely. Sounds worth it to me. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto you. For with the same measure, spoons, shovels, or dozers, that you use, it shall be measured to you again. Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, as much as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So when it comes to getting sin out of your life, don't use a spoon or shovel. Use a dozer. Hopefully you don't have dozer sin in your life. But use the dozer to get rid of it. If you're giving to others, be a dozer. If you're forgiving someone, do it with a dozer. I had a different person I was helping in business. I had them steal almost $250,000. I had to forgive them with a dozer, or it would have made me bitter. I prayed for them like a dozer, that they would be blessed, because that's what the Bible says to do. Several years later, on a Tuesday, I called him up to see how he was doing, and he said his business was worth $8 million. After I hung up the phone, I actually thanked God for answering my prayer. On a Friday night, I went to a prophetic meeting. That same week, I talked to him on Tuesday. That Friday, I went to a meeting where a prophet was speaking, Dr. Lewis's church. They introduced the speaker, who was a seasoned prophet, had no idea who I was. But first thing, when he got up, stood up and said, you there, stand up. God wants you to know. You've been hurt in business, but you're going to have more than him. To give thanks like a dozer. When giving of your time to the kingdom of God, be a dozer. In giving of your energy for God's work, be a dozer. And are you giving of your talent to the kingdom of God? Do it like a dozer. In giving of your finances for the work or for the glory of God, be a dozer. Here's the nose. John 15:13 says, greater love has no man. There's no love more generous than this, that he should lay down his life for a friend. God wants you to measure your responses compared to what he did for you in sending his only son to die on a cross and be the sacrificial lamb for all time. What Jesus did in enduring the whippings and lashings and the crown of thorns pressed down on his head,
showed up at that mountaintop when Jesus was preaching probably came to hear the Master speak. They came to hear somebody they had heard about. They probably hadn't planned on being there all day. But the words that Jesus spoke, the words were so, they were so wonderful. They were so enticing. They were so engaging. They couldn't leave. They would have brought them lunch too, I suppose, if they had known they were going to be there all day. But Jesus said, you've got to think. Sensitive when the disciples came to him. return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together. Make room, running over, for his around, you know that. I have a message for you. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. But not merely given back. Given back with bumps and blessings. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets. Generosity. That's the message. others, we don't only make ourselves feel closer to them. They feel closer to us, we feel closer to them. And there's a when we give and we're generous, there's a community thing that happens. There's a relationship thing that happens. And I have a firm example. I personally joy. People were happy. Tickets were tossing all over the place and people were grabbing stuff and it was like, there's community and relationship. A number of people went home a few dollars short. But the joy and the community, I was so, the joy. I'm like, what is wrong with these people? What kind of people are these? Givers. Generosity. Giving them more. It wasn't just about the money. It's like one person, they took this and another did that, and it was like the joy of it all. And it was the community and generosity makes you feel better. And I'll close with this. Come with that thought. issue was the concern about the things that she did for him. And she did a lot. He was concerned about what she did, all the care that she gave him and his servant, Jehoshaphat. That was his name. So he said to so we have to seek the Lord. Look around you. See who might need something. See who you can help. Because a lot of people need help. And we need help now. And so if we are not using the discernment, we will need help. So, and I'd like to add to that about what happened to me. And it's like a personal thing that happened that I did by the help of God in the 70s. Way back many years ago. God blessed me in doing this. There was a homeless family, and there was three people. Husband, wife, and a daughter. They were homeless. And so my heart was touched by God. And I took them into my home. They didn't work. I was working. And I provided them with a roof over their heads, food on the table, comfort in my home, everything free. I didn't ask them for anything because with my whole heart, I wanted to help them. And so after a year, they were able to get an apartment. The daughter graduated from school. The wife got an apartment. They did get an apartment, but she got a job at a hospital. And the husband also got a job. And I did this with all my heart. And anything that I do for anyone, and especially for God, I do it with all of my heart. And I'm not looking for anything back. I do it because I want to please God. And I want to help you. And I want to see everyone prosper. So I think generosity is something great. Generosity is something that all of us should want to embrace at all times. And I thank God for generosity because I look at John 3:16. Jesus gave. He gave. The Father gave His only begotten Son because He so loved the world. He so loved the world that He gave, He gave, He gave. He's still giving. He will never stop giving. So I model myself after Jesus. And I thank God that I have the heart and that God blesses me so that I will be able to give.
the roof, which is four chapters. When I looked at that, the first thing I started doing was crying. I didn't know why I was crying. I got into the woman of God. Well, I didn't know she was a woman of God, because what happened is a family moved to Moab. They don't know why they went. Well, the purpose was there was a big famine where they were in Bethlehem. So they came to Moab and they stayed there. They stayed, and whatever they did, they made, you know, they prospered in a way, but then they didn't, because the simple reason, Elimelech died first, which was the father. Then they had two sons, Chilion and Mahlon. They died. But each one of them had a wife, Mahlon and Chilion. Now, to say their names, I was looking to see which one had that wife, and we didn't show that. But either way, the two sons had wives. One was named Orpah, and the other one was named Ruth. The reason that I stayed on that, because Ruth was an extraordinary person that's in the Bible right now. And I started reading up on her life. She came there to, she married one of the brothers, and she did what she did with the brother. I mean, that was her husband. And when he died, but let me just say, she stayed mostly with the mother-in-law. Y'all know y'all can't stand some of y'all mother-in-law. Okay, but she stayed closely with her mother-in-law, because her mother-in-law exhibited some characteristics that she needed. Now remember, she was in Moab. Moab was a pagan place. But when she came to her mother, she learned how to be, you know, all the characteristics that she had. She learned about God on outside. She fell in love with her mother-in-law because she, to her, I'm saying Christian, I know she was a woman of God. I'm going to say it anyway. But anyhow, she had all the great traits, and she stayed with her. So when the sons died, Lord have mercy, when the sons died, they stayed, and all of a sudden, Naomi said, Lord have mercy, we ain't got no more money. We ain't got nothing coming in, but we're going to trust God. So let us leave this place, because honestly, they shouldn't have been there in the first place, because God smiled on Bethlehem, and they got that food for them to eat, and wealth was being distributed to the people. So they went back to where they left. On the way there, the devil kind of got in Naomi's whole thing. I don't know. She looked at the two daughter-in-law. She said, listen, I don't have a womb that I can bring you no more children. So you all need to go back to where you came from, or whatever. But my girl said, I'm not going to lead them all to that. Stay right with you. If you die, I'm going to die with you. And wherever you sleep, I'm sleeping right there with you. I am not going to leave you, because you put something in me that I don't know where it came from, but I believe right now it's a characteristic of God. So what you put inside of me, I'm going to hang in there with you. So whatever going through, she says, Naomi said, well, it seems like I can't, get rid of you, so you might as well come home. So when they went back to Bethlehem, and you know, people know you for who you used to be. Oh, Lord, yes, they do. Hallelujah. And so when Naomi started coming, she said, don't y'all call me Naomi no more. Call me Mara, because God has dealt real bad with me. See, her focus is a half-well out of water. Describe him, because she wasn't in the field. So she told her mother-in-law what he looked like. And she said, oh, child. That's one of our relatives. See, that is Elimelech's cousin. And you, I tell you what to do. You just do exactly as, you know, you're told to do, and something is working out. But God had a plan. Okay? So when she did that, she said, I'm going to tell you something. In the Message Bible, I like that. That thing makes me mad. Okay? They said, I'm going to show you how to get a husband. That's what the Message Bible said. She said, that's what the Message Bible said. So when she got there, Naomi came to her son. I want you to do something. I want you to take a bath, put on some good smelling perfume or whatever, and adorn yourself looking good. And no man, no woman, no woman not looking good. I tell you. Alright? So she did what her mother said to do, mother-in-law said to do. She went, she said, now find out where he's gonna be. When he finished eating and drinking, I want you to go to the threshing floor. And when you get unto the threshing floor, y'all listen to women, hello, I want you to pull back the cover of his feet. Now, men's feet don't always smell good. Okay? Now, it takes some generosity to make sure that you want to go and sleep by somebody's feet. So what she did, Justin, she rolled. He wanted her with all of his heart. Something touched them on the inside because he showed generosity. She showed generosity to Naomi and the rest. So God knew exactly what he was dealing with. He put two people who were very generous to the world. When I say the world, what you mean? Okay, let me tell you real quick. Okay. Naomi. I'll say Ruth. She got that thing. God had set up a marriage with a rich man. You know the Bible keeps saying in that story that he was a rich man. Okay? God's going to give you the best, ladies, if we wait. Hello. On God and not try to choose him ourselves. That's for the women. Amen. But when they got married, Lord have mercy, their first child, when they obeyed. Jesse's father. Walking one where he called all 12 of his disciples together to have a huddle. He said, "Guys, let's get together. I got to tell you something that just happened. I just saw this. Look, the widow with 2 months walked up and took everything she had. God of the universe noticed that. What we have to give is never insignificant." Does anybody here have a dollar? A dollar. A dollar to trade with you. Anybody have a dollar to trade? Come on up. Whoever's got it, if you can come up quickly. Alma's got it. Alma's working. Oh, Farrell's got it. Thank you, Farrell. Here you go. Take that dollar. How much is that?
This one's a 20.
20. Okay, a 20. And you gave me a 1. Thank you. Okay, you can go sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that trade. Thank you for that trade. Appreciate that. Yes, that was fast. Farrell, you were quick on your feet with that. We just made an exchange. Farrell didn't know it, but I had a 20 to give him. And I asked for a 1. God is the same way with us. He asks for an exchange. He asks for us to give. And we give. We give of what we have. We give of our limitation. We give of our human selves. And then God gives of himself. He gives everything. He gives over and above what we could ask or imagine. But we have to have the exchange. And that's what I want to leave you with today. In generosity, we got to create the exchange. We got to create the exchange with God, because when we release what's in our hand, he can do what's in his hand. He can give what he has stored up in heaven. He can open the window.